Have you seen the new t-shirts? The ones that rate this year so far. They have 5 stars across the front, and the t-shirt gives 2020 1 star. And it adds the words underneath, very bad, would not recommend. We, however, as a church, have decided to use this year, odd as it is, to get better. We're talking about putting practices into place in our lives that will eventually allow us to do things that we can't do right now. We've talked about the need to surrender ourselves to God, to admit that you cannot do the good stuff that you want to do in life on your own. You need God. I need God. Essentially, we have to surrender at some point to Him. We choose to give up. And we've talked about the need to change the way we think, to do things, to make choices, to learn not to think like we've been thinking, to allow God's way of looking at stuff to fill us up and overflow over our sides. So we read the Bible, we study up, and in doing so, we develop a new mindset, a growth mindset, so we cheer up. And last week, we talked about how God has created the idea of a group with whom we can do this, a new family, brothers and sisters heading in the same direction, shooting for the same thing in a church with a congregation. We find people with whom we enjoy eating. We find people around whom we learn it's safe to take off our masks. We team up. And each week we've talked about ways that you can pattern your life to give up, study up, cheer up, team up, practices that you can start right now. Some theologians call these things spiritual disciplines, but that's pretty heavy. So we're going with, these are habits that you can develop in your life that will, if you do these things, help you eventually reap rewards down the road that you can't believe. It's longer, but I think it's better. Today's practice that we're going to talk about starting in our lives or continuing in our lives, today's practice is praying. And ironically, we're going to call that look up, which is weird because in America, when someone says we're going to pray, usually they say, bow your heads, fold your hands, close your eyes. And we all know that, oh, that means we're supposed to pray now. Most likely, the origin of that custom was a very frustrated Bible school teacher of small children who said, let's try this for controlling the class. But it's quite possible that Jesus never prayed that way at all in his life. Instead, when he asked his Father for help, Jesus usually looked up. In Mark 7, when they asked Jesus to heal the man who was deaf and not able to speak, it says, after Jesus took him aside, away from the crowd, he put his fingers into the man's ears. Then Jesus spit and touched the man's tongue. He looked up to heaven and with a deep sigh said, Ephphatha, which means, open up. At this, the man's ears were opened, his tongue was loosened, and he began to speak plainly. Before Jesus cured this man, he looked up. Or in Mark chapter 6, when Jesus was about to provide lunch for 5,000 people, it says, then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, Jesus gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples to distribute to the people. He also divided the 2 fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied, and the number picked up, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish afterwards. The number of men who had eaten was 5,000. Jesus looked up and gave thanks before feeding the 5,000. Or there was a time when Jesus was about to raise his friend from the dead, and he told them to open up the grave, and she said, don't do that, Jesus, it will stink. But he said, no, do this. So in John 11, verse 41, it says, so they took away the stone, and Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, Jesus called out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and cloth around his face. Jesus said, take off the grave clothes and let him go. He looked up and talked with his Father in heaven about what was going to happen to Lazarus. And when he was praying that last night, right before his crucifixion, John records this. He says, after Jesus said this, he looked towards heaven and prayed, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so that your Son may glorify you. So here's my question today. Have you ever prayed with your eyes open? Have you ever prayed looking up into the heavens? It seems like mostly when Jesus prayed, he looked up. Perhaps we have been doing it wrong all these years. Or maybe not wrong, but maybe there's a better way. Prayer lesson number one today. Be like Jesus. Look up when you pray. Literally. My dad raised pigs on the Ohio farm that he grew up on. And he always talked to us, told us about how pigs are not smart. Because pigs do not, they can't bend their necks. They always only are looking down. By nature, pigs look down. And pigs love corn, Dad said. And when they see corn on the ground in front of them, having no understanding or awareness whatsoever of the farmer who actually threw the corn down on the ground, the pigs think, probably, that the ground gave them the corn. Probably before they eat, the pigs close their eyes and, well, they don't fold their hands, but they say, thank you to the ground for providing this wonderful meal for us. Pigs, Dad said, are ignorant because they don't look up. They look down. And we can too. We can look down. We can look down at the size of our problems, our insufficient resources, the uncertainty of our future, the fear in our hearts. We can live life without God. We can look down, or we can bring him into the picture. We can live in his presence. We can look up. Prayer lesson number two, don't be a pig. Look up when you pray, figuratively. Sometimes people say they don't pray because praying doesn't work. That's an interesting phrase. Praying doesn't work. If you put money in a vending machine and a Snickers bar doesn't drop out at the bottom, that didn't work. If you hit Control P on your computer and the printer doesn't spit anything out, that didn't work. But if I tell Linda, in addition to your day job tomorrow, I want you to mow the lawn, wash the car, do the laundry, clean out the garage, check in with the kids, help my mom take care of my dad, make me baklava and book us a trip to know you know where. Now, if all those things don't happen tomorrow, does that mean that talking to my wife doesn't work? No. Does it mean my brain doesn't work? Probably. Praying is not magic. It is not casting a spell. It is not using the force. It's just a conversation with God. It's like talking with anyone, except he's really important. So we gave talking with him a special name. We called it prayer. But it involves mutual respect. Praying doesn't mean that you can make God do whatever you want just by saying it. In fact, the most basic prayer for people who want to get better in life, the one prayer that goes underneath all the rest goes like this. God, please show me your will for me and give me the strength to do it. That comes out of the giving up piece in our lives, the surrendering piece, where we ask God to take over because we can't, but he can, so we let him. That prayer, God, please show me your will for me and give me the strength to do it, is not telling God what he has to do. It's asking him for his help in us doing what he wants. Like all conversations, talking with God is best done when you give him the benefit of the doubt. Trusting that he's good. Trusting that if you knew what God knows, and if you loved like God loves, and if you could see what God sees, you would do what God does. It's respecting him. It's admitting, I can't, God, but you can. And when I pray, I'm asking, how can I help you do that? Do you see how that's so different from how prayer is usually packaged? How most people think of prayer? Larry Bryant sings about his never-ending shopping list. He says, give me this, I want that, bless me, Lord, I pray, grant me what I think I need to make it through the day, make me wealthy, keep me healthy, fill in what I've missed on my never-ending shopping list. That's not giving up, that's not looking up, that's an I'm in charge here, thank you very much attitude. That's a I don't really need you, God, I just need the stuff that you can give me attitude. And you can have that attitude if you want, but you can't have that attitude and pray looking up. Those are mutually exclusive. I heard two ideas this week. I heard two stories. One was a disgusting one that made a good point, and one was a more disgusting one that made an even better point. Which one do you want first? Okay, I'll go with the disgusting one that made a good point first. Pete Seeger used to be a folk singer, and he told a story about two maggot brothers. They were maggots, but they're brothers. And they were on this shovel handle one morning when the worker picked up the shovel and took it with him, and both maggots fell off the handle. One maggot fell into the crack on the sidewalk. One maggot fell into roadkill. And the one that fell into the dead animal ate and ate and ate and ate for 3 days. It just kept eating and it got fat and happy and healthy. The other one that fell in the crack had nothing to gnaw on, nothing at all, and it grew skinny and almost died in 3 days. When the starving maggot brother saw his portly maggot brother crawl by on the by his sidewalk crack, the skinny brother said, "Wow, how did you end up like that?" And the big maggot puffed out his chest and said, "Brains and personality, bro, brains and personality." Sorry about the visual, but most people you know, if you ask them how they got where they are in life today, if they were honest, they would probably underneath be saying, "Brains and personality, bro, brains and personality." We are self-sufficient people. We are captains of our own fate. We are self-made men. We pull ourselves up by our bootstraps. We are fiercely independent. We are masters of our own destiny. It's all us. I mean, that's not true, but that's how we think. If God took away your health or your intellect or your opportunities or your country, you wouldn't have what you have. If God arranged for you, for instance, to be born up in the mountains of Nepal in the 14th century, instead of where you were born, when you were born, your life probably would have turned out very differently. It's mostly God's blessing that we're where we are, but we think it's because of our brains and personality that we've accomplished what we've accomplished. So we don't really need God, so why do we need to pray? That's the first disgusting story. I think it makes a good point. The other disgusting story that I heard this week was told in a movie that Linda and I watched. The movie's called Harriet, and I highly recommend it, disgusting though it is. The story of Harriet Tubman, the gross part of the movie is the depiction of slavery in the U.S. circa 1860. It is unthinkable that that kind of stuff happened in this country. It is despicable that that was. But it did happen, and the movie shows Harriet courageously facilitating impossible escapes. A woman, a slave, leading other slaves, men and women, to freedom. It is a powerful story. And the coolest thing, the movie Harriet features a lady who has conversations with God. It's so good. She asks God for his will, and she does what he tells her to do. She prays for guidance, and God tells her, "Go left." And she does. God tells her, "Walk through that river." And she does. Watch it. It's amazing. She did not think she could do many of the things God asked her to do, but she let him, and he did. See, at the core, praying isn't a long list of things you want. It's asking God for what you need to do the stuff he wants you to do. Do you know what America runs on? What does America run on? What a bad choice. Do you know what we're made to run on? Do you know what this country needs to run on? God and his will and his power. You need God. I need God. Prayer lesson number 3, be like Harriet. Look up to see what God wants done and what provisions he'll send you. And then do it. So we're talking about things that we can work on every day now that will eventually end up changing how we do every day down the road. We're talking about practices that we can put in place in our lives. And with regular repetition, we can train ourselves to become vastly different and vastly better people. What are today's practices? Number 1, pray. Did you see that one coming? Pray every morning. Make it a habit. Start every day for the rest of your life with prayer. It doesn't have to be long. I'm not asking for anything heroic, just steady. Pray every morning. Do it. Now, I realize that will be a problem for some of you because you are not morning people. Like the bumper sticker on the lady's car that I saw one time that said, "Some mornings I wake up grumpy, but mostly I just let him sleep." Some of you don't wake up well. You are not nice to be around till you've had coffee. Nobody wants to be, not even Jesus wants to be around you until you've had your coffee. So start with coffee. For God's sakes, literally, for God's sakes, start with coffee. And then in the morning, find a place to pray where you won't be interrupted. so that you can do this. And if you have small children who just can't be quiet early in the morning, you might want to move away from them for a couple years. One mother of three toddlers was given a playpen by a friend, and the mom wrote a thank you note. She said, "I am so thankful each afternoon for your thoughtful gift. Once I open up that playpen and climb in, my kids can't get to me for hours." Small children are such wondrous gifts from heaven and so very trying. So you might need to come up with creative ways to find time. But every morning, make it a habit. Talk with God first. Start your day with your Father in heaven. Some people also read the Bible then. Great if you can. If you can't, at least talk to them. Some people light candles. Some people use an app. There are many old-fashioned and new-fangled ways to do this. Some people use the same prayer every day so they can think about it, so that it can become part of them. Some people say, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth like it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. And forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And don't let us be led into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." Every morning, you know that one. You could say that every morning. And think about it. Mean it. Some people use the morning prayer. This is from AA. And many people in the world start their day every day saying this: "God, direct my thinking so that it's divorced from self-seeking, dishonesty, self-will, self-pity, and fear. Inspire my thoughts, decisions, and intuitions. Help me to relax and take it easy. Free me from doubt and indecision. Guide me through the day. Show me my next step. Give me whatever I need to solve any problem. I ask these things that I might be of maximum service to you and my fellow human beings. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen." Practice number one, start every morning, start every day talking with God. Practice number two, talk with God, pray throughout the day. Of course, pray when you need him, when you need to know what his will is for you, when you need to, his power to do it. When would that be? How about always? When you're working on a project at your job, when you're trying to be a good mom, when you're deciding which car to buy, when you're wrestling with addiction, when you're celebrating an anniversary, when your health is bad, when you're thinking about starting a new church, when you're changing careers, when you're getting married, when you're picking a school, when you're learning to drive, when you're counseling your friend, when you're thinking about your parents. When is a time when you don't need to know God's will for your life and his power to do it? See how often you can remember to talk with God during the day about his will for you in that particular situation. Sometimes I go a long time during the day and then I think, oh, I haven't talked with God for like a while. See how often you can do that. Did you hear about the guy who said, I took a poll recently and results show that 100% of the people in that tent were very angry. Folks, this is the thing that holds up your tent all day long. Talk with God all day long. Pray without ceasing. Start your morning with prayer. Start it with God. Talk to him. Spend the day with God. Talk to him. Number three, don't just talk. Listen. After you say, God, please show me what your will for me is today, and please give me the power to do it, don't hang up. Allow thoughts to come into your head. They might be from God. Do you think he couldn't? Do you think he couldn't talk to you that he wouldn't? Not you. If I knew you, I'd probably think, God's not going to speak to you. But God has spoken to a lot of people who weren't really qualified. God talked to Cain, who had killed his brother. God spoke to Moses, who was also a murderer. God spoke to Abraham, he's a liar. God spoke to David, he was an adulterer. God spoke to Solomon, he's a polygamist. God spoke to Jonah, and he was a deserter. God spoke to Thomas, and he was a doubter. God spoke to Peter, he was a denier. God spoke to Lazarus, he was dead. God spoke to a donkey, it's not even a human. Why could God not speak to you? God can tell us things. He can give us ideas. He can lead us in new directions if we will let him. A mom had a problem son. He was very problematic, and she prayed and prayed and prayed, God, please change this kid. But the kid didn't change. But one day while she was praying, she suddenly thought that perhaps God was telling her, become a student of your child. I made him. It's up to you to discover the special brilliance I placed inside of him. Study him. And this mom spent the next 2 years looking for and finding genius in her son that she'd never seen before, and it transformed their relationship. So guess who really had the problem? Guess where the problem really resided all along in that relationship? I was talking about parenting with a really smart guy I just met the day before. And I said, I have discovered that the biggest problem in parenting is usually the parent. And he laughed and laughed. And I said, why are you laughing? He said, well, I was waiting for some great pearl of wisdom there. That's what you gave me? It's the parents? I said, I think it's true. He said, oh, yeah, it's absolutely true. And most people don't know that. I just didn't think that's what you would say. Sometimes when we pray, asking God to show us his will in a certain relationship, it will often turn out that he is not concerned at all with the other person because it's really about us. And if you talk to God and then listen, you'll probably hear that a lot. And we don't just ask him to guide us to his will for us. We also ask him for the power we need to do it. We need guidance and power, and he has plenty of both. So go ahead, ask and listen. You can carry on a conversation with God from this very moment, right now, until you die. And then after that, too. You can talk with your Father in heaven. Such an amazing thing he offers. I have a friend in another state who texts me regularly. For some reason, he likes to text around 3 or 4 a.m. regularly, which is okay because I am often checking to see how my bathroom's doing right around then. Being old is not cool, folks. I'm telling you. It's good in a lot of ways. That's not. So I texted him back very early in the morning, and I hit send, and immediately, like within a second, you know what appeared on my phone right under my message? A word. You know what the word said? Delivered. Delivered. And I thought, that is amazing. It's 6 a.m. in the morning. I'm sitting on my toilet in the basement of Victor, New York, and I am talking with someone else 1,000 miles away. The words I just typed went out into space and bounced off satellites and ended up on his phone. I do not know how that happens or how anybody ever figured out how to make that happen. But I'm glad they did. My life is better because of cellular phones and texting. And you know what is one of the most anticipatory signals that we've got in our culture right now? Do you know what is the sign in our culture that something good is coming your way? Dot, dot, dot. Dot, dot, dot. Dot, dot, dot. Three blinking dots means something is coming to you. When you send a message and those three flashing dots, they show up, you, that means hang on there. They're going to send something back. They're answering you. Mail is going to be on its way, right? And I mean, isn't it so disappointing when you get dot, 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 dot. Nothing. And they don't send you anything. What's up with that? No message, no text, no more dots, nothing. Don't you feel abandoned in the moment right there? I don't know how praying works. I have no idea how God can hear what I say or what I think at any part of, from any part of the world at any time of any day, while simultaneously listening to 8 billion other people on the earth who are also talking to him. But I know he does. I heard a guy ask his friend, who's your favorite Bond? And the other guy said, well, they're all good, but I like Roger Moore. I thought it was good. Sorry. The crazy thing is, if you were to ask God who's his favorite, he would say, you are. He likes you more. So he listens carefully to everything that you say in his direction. And you don't need his number, and you don't even need a phone. You can just talk to him. But I'm learning, not only does God listen to us, he answers. How about dot-a-dot, dot-a-dot, dot-a-dot from heaven? He hears us, and he answers. And if we'll listen, we can hear him. And if we'll ask him to guide us into his will for us and give us the power to do it, he can. He will. He does. And that is good news. Worth practicing. So let's. I now invite you not to bow your heads and not to close your eyes, but to look up as we pray and say, God, you are great. Help us to know what you've got for us to do. As a husband, as a wife, as a parent, as a child, as an employee, as a friend, as a citizen, show us your will for us. Give us the power we need to do it. And as a church, God, show us where you want us to go, what you want us to do, what you want us to say. And we ask for you to provide the resources so that we can. I pray all that in Jesus' name, looking up. Amen.